All right. Hello, everyone. My name is Natisha Willis, and if you came to learn how to leverage social media to grow your coaching business, you are in the right place. I am a business coach, and I primarily teach what I like to call friendship-based marketing, which we'll get into a little bit later. But just to give you a brief overview of what you're going to learn today. Number one, we're going to discuss how to leverage Facebook and YouTube to create a steady stream of content. Facebook has over 1 billion users, and so there's a really good chance that no matter who your ideal client is, you can leverage Facebook in order to get in front of them, as well as to kind of get some information about them. You're also going to learn today how to create your first or your next coaching product. And last but definitely not least, create the next 90 days of emails to send to the people who are interested in you. We commonly call those people your followers. So after this class, my hope is that you'll be ready to use social media to your advantage. So I want to start with just a little bit of brief info about me and kind of what makes me qualified to teach this course so that you know who I am. I do want to say thank you to everyone who submitted questions beforehand. We'll go over those at the end. And then anyone who has additional questions, we can answer those as well. So just a little bit about me. Just like you, I love coaching. I love helping others create better lives and businesses for themselves. I do consider myself a self-proclaimed personal development junkie. So I love reading new books, ordering lots of them. I have a whole Amazon wish list full of books that I need, want. As soon as I finish all the other books on my nightstand, I began coaching not really knowing that that's what I was doing. I started out as an academic advisor for a for-profit university, and my job was really to keep people in school. And what ended up happening is that I instead began working with them and helping people all over the world really identify which parts of their lives were out of alignment with their academic program. And so then we began chatting about how to get in better alignment. Before I knew it, I was the director of marketing and development for a women's organization that served to help women recognize and stand in their own power. And so I was supporting women in creating their own personal growth and development. And then on the flip side, I was spending anywhere from 12 to 18 hours a day studying social behavior on social media, buyer behavior, and basically what it meant to build a brand versus a business, and what of that information could be used for small businesses and solo entrepreneurs. I do have a background in entrepreneurship. I ran a mobile massage company. I come from a family of entrepreneurs, and so I really have a passion and a love for small businesses. Eventually, I began teaching my local small businesses and solo entrepreneurs everything that I knew about social media, and eventually found myself right here at the Institute of Life Coach Training, where, of course, we're taught that all coaching has its foundation in life coaching. So for me, it was a very natural progression to combine the marketing knowledge that I have with my love for personal development. And so now I run an online coaching program for women all over the world where I teach them what I like to call friendship-based marketing, which is a term I use to really just describe this concept of focusing on building really good relationships with people, selectively giving away your knowledge, and allowing people to come to you when they're ready for your services, rather than the other way around where we're commonly chasing the client. Thus, the way that I do business is heavy on creating content, getting in front of groups of people, delivering workshops and offering useful, free information and sharing and providing great stuff with as many as possible. So a lot of what I do in order to build my business involves networking, it involves public speaking, it involves writing. So if you love those things, as well as getting active in your local community, then you are definitely in the right place. as a result, I've built a business almost entirely on referrals, and so I would love to show you how to do the same thing. So today we're talking all about leveraging social media to grow your coaching business. And so just to let you know in advance, three of the topics that we're going to cover are content creation, coaching products, and email marketing. So let's start out with a challenge. As coaches, most of the time we are not specific enough about the result that our clients can expect to achieve. And thus, we find ourselves having a little bit of trouble marketing. So let's just start there. The number one thing that you want to do when you're beginning to think about content creation is really identifying the exact results that you want your clients to achieve. Whether this is a feeling, whether this is, most of us are life coaches, right? So when we talk about, we can use life coaching as a great example. Most of us have some awesome experience in a specific place of life that we feel created the most transformation for ourselves. On the flip side, frequently that's the exact same transformation or the area of life that we address with our clients. So it's okay for you to say that, you know, for example, I love entrepreneurship. Entrepreneurship is what I feel changed my life. So, you know, it's okay for me to talk about how entrepreneurship changed my life and how I feel entrepreneurship changes lives and what benefits it offers and all of those sorts of things. So as a coach, those are some of the things that we want to begin doing. It's really just addressing a specific result. So let's talk about content creation. Some of the facts, right? It is a fact. You can create lots of content easily and quickly. All it really takes is you deciding what your area of expertise is and then getting known for that, okay? If you want to focus on relationships, that's entirely okay. You just, all you have to choose is what area of relationships, if it's conflict resolution, if it's marriages, if it's parental relationships. You know what I'm saying? So hopefully that makes sense. The best way to create expert status, so that's basically what you're becoming, when you identify your expertise and you begin talking to people, believe it or not, you are considered an expert. Okay, so the best way for you to really just hone in on that expert status for yourself is to, number one, write a book, number two, teach a workshop, and number three, get booked for a speaking engagement. And these things, they sound, I guess they're easier said than done, but there are really simple ways to do it. There's a book called, and you'll probably want to write this down, hopefully you have a pen, but there's a book called How to Write a Book in a Weekend. And if you Google it, How to Write a Book in a Weekend, and then type the letters PDF right after it, you'll find it. But it's all about really how to write a book. And what it really walks you through is creating a almost like a term paper, an outline for the information that you're an expert in, and then recording yourself. Passing that recording all over to someone who will then transcribe it, sending that transcription to an editor, and then, you know, bang, boom, pow, you are an author. You can use lulu.com to self-publish. I mean, it really is that simple. The first, I have three books now that I'm working on, and the very first one that I created was a coaching product, and I call it the Friend Finder, and it was designed to really help me to keep track of the friends that I was making on Facebook. But I had a rough outline. I sent it over to my designer. She made it really pretty for me, created a cover. We sent it over to Lulu. And literally that was it. Lulu.com is connected to Amazon. So if you want to sell them on Amazon, you can. But, I mean, literally it was it. I sell those books now for $20 or $25, depending. And I personally pay maybe $4 a piece for them. So you can become an author. It's really not that hard. As far as teaching a workshop, really, all again, we're talking about outlines, right? Most of us, it's so funny how everything that we use in order to become great coaches is really the same, the very same tools and skills that we learned in third grade. This idea that you have a main idea or a main thing that you want to accomplish, and then you literally break it out into an outline. You can teach workshops at your local church, any organization. I personally, I typically tell my clients to reach out to their local community organizations, and I do that for a couple of reasons. I know this class is about social media, but follow me. Everyone who's on social media is also offline, okay? And the way that I leverage social media is really continuing the relationships that I started offline. And so typically, coaches, we are building what I like to call personal brands. That means that you're not building a company like Tide. Your coaching practice is directly tied to you as an individual. And so people online, even though they may be in your local community or not, the more frequently that they're able to touch you, the quicker they're able to know, like, and trust you, or at least feel as if they know, like, and trust you. And in the marketing industry, that's really what helps you to land those clients. That's really what helps you to fill your programs. That's really what helps you to begin building those relationships. Getting in front of people so people know that you're real and you're not just like some talking head, you know, that if people feel like they can reach out and touch you and that other people are reaching out and touching you, they are more likely to sign up to your program, hop on a discovery call with you, really just get to know you. Okay, so teaching workshops. And last but not least, like I said, getting booked for speaking engagements. As we're first getting started, these can be free. That's totally okay. As a matter of fact, I typically tell my clients that you any workshop that you want to, when you're first beginning your coaching practice, I call it the 10X method. You want to practice whatever it is that you're doing 10 times, and here's why you want to do this. When you practice a program, you put together a workshop, and this is the difference between, this is why we're building brands, right? There's the reason that you want to create a workshop and offer it for free is you're doing this for a couple of reasons. Number one, you're building your reputation as a coach, as a specialist in a specific area. So whether or not people actually attend, if they see your name and they begin to see your name enough times, whether or not they ever attend your workshop, guess what? You become an expert in your local community, and you become the person that I'm referring all of my cousins, sisters, aunts, nephews, and uncles to when they have the problem that you helped with. It may sound crazy, but it's totally true. I've received referrals from people who have never sat in any of my workshops, and they've never got on a call with me. They've only seen my flyers or seen my events or seen me posting on Facebook, and they send people my way. It really just works that way. So you're building your brand. Number two, you're also practicing your speaking ability. Most of us are not trained public speakers, right? You can go to your Toastmaster, your local Toastmaster organization to practice your speaking, or you can get into the community and really help the people who you're looking to help and practice delivering workshops. That also helps with your speaking. Number three, if you go into your local community for your speaking engagements and your workshops and you're actually networking or building, I like to say, make sure I mention, building relationships with the movers and shakers and the leaders of local organizations, you're not only helping them to serve their client base, right? So it's a mutually beneficial relationship. You're not only practicing your program, you're not only getting your name out there, but you're also presenting yourself as a community leader. And as coaches, oftentimes we forget that part. Yes, we're entrepreneurs. Yes, we're personal development people, but we are also leaders. And so as you begin to connect with other leaders, being able to serve their population will lead you toward other speaking engagements. In addition, those are excellent photo opportunities. When you have speaking engagements, when you're leading workshops, these are the types of pictures that you want to begin sharing or you want to have in your arsenal so that you can share on social media. Social media is really all about identifying how you want to appear to the public and then appearing that way. If you want to be considered an authority, which a coach is an authority figure, right, all you have to do is begin to position yourself or show yourself in positions of authority. So speaking behind a podium, leading an activity. I even had a photo shoot recently where I had a workshop and that was the photo shoot. It was like an impromptu workshop. But the key thing about marketing is that you decide how you want people to think of you or think about you, and then you create an image that shows you in that way, and then people will think of you that way. So it's just that simple. So after you've written your book, taught your workshops, got booked for your speaking engagements, after that, really all you're doing is honing your skills and deciding how you like to work with your clients, either one-on-one or in groups. That's totally your jam. It's up to you. So how do you create content easily? Decide what your ideal client most wants to learn right now. That's where you start. With whoever your client is, then you have to pick what they want to know, what they most want to know right now at this moment. Next, you want to break it down into bite-sized pieces, okay? And then with those bite-sized pieces, coming back to this idea of an outline, right? If you were writing a speech outline or a term paper outline, same deal. With those bite-sized pieces, you want to write blog posts about those. Or if you hate or procrastinate on writing, you simply want to record videos on it. Here's a tip. With your videos, you want to make sure that you organize most things that you're creating into 3 to 5 tips, okay? Use outlines. Have some type of speaking outline as you're recording the videos. Facebook Live works. YouTube is great. It doesn't matter. The point is that you're getting out there, you're practicing your speaking ability, and you're becoming known for what it is that you are known for. Okay? That same content is basically what you can use to create your Facebook posts, your memes, all of these kind of things. And speaking of Facebook memes and things, the way that you come up with a ton of memes, and I've got, I don't even know how many. There's a bunch of different schools of thought on this, right? Quotes are awesome. Someone mentioned, and by the way, memes, I'm assuming everyone on the call knows what those are, but they're basically the little squares that if you look at Tony Robbins or I don't know, Gary Vaynerchuk. I don't know who you guys follow, but usually they on those, if you go to those Facebook fan pages or to their Instagrams, you'll often see a picture with a message on it, okay? The best memes are the ones that, number one, are organized around your area of expertise. So once you decide what your ideal client most wants to learn right now, as coaches, we're full of information. So there's a very good chance that if you're full of information, you're actually not going to have trouble coming up with what to put on the memes. Your challenge is going to be not putting so much information on a single picture that it's overwhelming to people. That's why it's important that you get in the habit of organizing your thoughts into bite-sized pieces and really just hitting the point, right? Remember those, what we learned in, I'm assuming, first grade, subject, verb, what is it? I don't know what happens. What's the object? Subject, verb, object. The less information that you have on the meme as possible, the better, because then anything that goes with the meme becomes a blog post, or you can expound upon it in the type that the what you're writing that goes along with the meme. Okay. One thing to make note of, as time goes on, your things and the things that you're talking about is going to develop, is going to grow with you. So don't be discouraged if you feel like, you know, things are changing. It happens. It's okay. What happens is as you grow, you begin to refine your message, and you'll find that, oh, okay, I thought I wanted to talk about relationships. This is the type of relationship that I want to hone in on, okay? And so that'll actually help you to begin building, again, your brand or what you're known for. Jeff Bezos, who's the CEO of Amazon, he says your brand is basically what people say about you when you're not in the room. So whether you know it or not, you already have a brand. You already have a reputation. People are already talking about you for one thing or another. As a coach who's building their online presence and really leveraging social media, now you're just deciding what you want people to talk about you for and kind, like I said, giving them the words that you want them to use and then letting them use them. excuse me, I already talked about YouTube videos and the topics. Again, just want to touch on that again. You want to make sure that your YouTube videos are no more than 3 to 4 minutes. It's easy to get off on a rant, especially when you start talking about stuff that you love and that you're passionate about. That's why I say go ahead and make that outline, jump on those points, get on them, and then get off of them. People's attention spans are really, really short nowadays, especially on social media. So those YouTube videos that you're posting, they can become blog posts for your email list, all kinds of things. So the best way to really to create large amounts of content is to repurpose. So going back to what I said earlier about, you know, identifying what your ideal client most wants to learn right now in this moment, just identify a title, you know, or a grouping, and then list out what things do you know specifically about those, that particular topic, and then I guarantee you if you start writing out what you know about those topics, you'll have tons of information. And what happens, what most of the quote-unquote gurus do, is they repurpose tons and tons of content. So they may only talk about three or four things, but they may look at them from different perspectives. They may have something on Facebook about it, something else on Instagram about it. I frequently, personally, what I've begun doing, bringing in my own personal experience, I'm well-versed in, plus I'm also a PhD student in metaphysics and holistic life coaching, so I study chakras and all kinds of things. So I'll bring in, you know, I look at friendships from the perspective of each of the chakras. So, you know, from your familial relationships to your power relationships to your relationships with speaking. So I look at all of that. So bring in all of whatever you have to offer. The really cool thing about being a life coach is that we have experienced lots of life. So you have some experience. It might be a sports reference. It might be being a stay-at-home mom. It might be you love gardening or hiking. But bring in your references. The really cool thing that I have found that most people don't really talk about is this idea that who you are, I mean, the very person, the core of your being, and all the experiences that have led to the person, the woman, the man who you are right now today, those very same experiences are what is going to draw or attract people to you. So talk about those. You know, you're a life coach, so talk about life. so that, you know, that's important. Let's see, what else do I have on here? This, I've got the coaching product, which we spoke about, writing your book, online courses, which is my favorite subject. Here's a really super duper easy way to build an online course. I personally, some options for online courses are Thinkific, so that's the word Think, I-F-I-C. And then also if you are, that's one where you can use, where you build it yourself. Udemy is another one, U-D-E-M-Y. I personally use Zippy Courses, which is a plugin created by Derek Halpern. I don't know if anyone's familiar with him, but that's the social traffic something. I can't remember what he's known for, but you can Google it and it's there. But it's a WordPress plugin. But really, the really cool thing about online courses is literally all they are workshops that people can access online. So once you get in the habit, once you've gotten, you've practiced your workshop, say 10 times, 5 or 10 times, you're really clear on what information people want to know. So what you'll find, I don't know, you know, if people are new coaches or experienced coaches, I'm not sure where you are in your coach entrepreneurship journey, but no matter where you are, you know that there's some additional information. There's a worksheet. There's a list that people need to make. There's, you know, some specific instructions. The beauty of online courses is what they do is take the coaching experience with you and allow someone, basically takes you out of the equation so that you're not required to be there. And it's, like, awesome. I'm not going to get into sales funnels in this conversation, but if we were to, you know, talk about, well, we can talk about a funnel. A funnel is just basically a set of steps or a journey that people take through working with you. In the online industry, frequently online courses are an affordable way for people to experience coaching with you without directly working with you. I know most of us in the beginning, most of us start out working one-on-one. Again, I'm not sure where people are in their coaching journey, if you're, you know, okay with working one-on-one or if you're ready to be done with one-on-one. But really, online courses, what that does is allow you or allow anyone who wants to work with you to really for you to put what working with you would look like into an online portal where I can work with you virtually, quote-unquote virtually, in an asynchronized environment, which means that you aren't there at the same time. So frequently those are videos that are like walking me through certain steps that have also worksheets and PDFs and all kinds of awesomeness in there. But online courses are also a great way to create a coaching product because it allows you to make money while you're sleeping. Yay! Which I'm sure everyone wants that. Last but not least, the last thing that I want to talk about, which 7:26, we're making pretty good time, email marketing, right, which is really just a way to stay in touch with your followers, to share helpful tips and information. And in my opinion, to really just keep a pulse on the people who want to talk to you, to talk to them. One really good book that I've read on email marketing is called Launch. I thought I had the book. It's by Jeff Walker. And it specifically talks about how to create email marketing for yourself. So all of the content that I've already walked you through how to create, Jeff Walker basically leads you down this. I have a girlfriend. We talk about NLP, so if you're familiar with neuro-linguistic programming, but it's really just this way to walk people through a path, a journey, which information to share when. So, for example, if you're out speaking, you want to collect email addresses from people who want to stay in touch with you. And as you continue to provide them value, provide them content, email addresses are golden as you're creating online business because they allow you to really just stay in touch with your people. So no matter where you're building your business, on Facebook or YouTube, you want to make sure that you always give people an opportunity to, like, opt in, which is basically you want to give people an opportunity for them to provide you with their email address, which is a way for you to stay in touch with them. But, yeah, that's pretty much it. I'm going to take a look at some of these questions. I think I've almost answered all of them. And then if not, then we can definitely get to those as well. Sarah asked about generational differences in use of social media. For example, I've heard that Generation X is into Facebook while younger millennials are more into Instagram. My personal belief, yes, you have generational, quote-unquote, generational differences in social media, but I believe that it's not so much generational as it is what people prefer, their preferred medium. So you have to decide what your favorite social media platform is and then use it. The key is to use it in the way that primary users utilize it. Gary Vaynerchuk refers to this as native content in his book, Jab, 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 Right Hook. So if you're interested in learning the ins and outs of social media, that's definitely a way to, that's definitely a great book to check out. But yeah, you can use whatever platform you like. The point is that you enjoy it, because if you don't enjoy it, you're not going to be on there, and it really doesn't matter if you don't like it. Different people will say different things, but my personal opinion is that no one got into coaching to do things they hate. We all got into coaching because we loved helping people. And so if you, obviously, I'm assuming if you're on this call, then you enjoy some aspect of social media, one platform or the other. So I always say go with the one that you enjoy, because it's really at the end of the day, it's all about relationships anyway. Sarah also asks, with so many social media platforms available, it's an overwhelming prospect to decide where to start in promoting my coaching practice. Any suggestions? Yes. Start with where you are. Whatever platform you're already on, start there. And then begin building relationships one by one. I know often, frequently, I even talked about it a little bit, frequently you'll hear people talk about this, the ability to touch or reach millions on social media, which in theory is true, but here's the kicker. People are typically only going to click on your Facebook ads, share your whatever it is, content, really engage with your content if they feel as if they know, like, and trust you. The quickest way to get people to know, like, and trust you is to build a relationship with you. Case in point, I love talking to people, right, both online and offline. What I have found is that when I treat social media like it's a cocktail party or a barbecue. When you walk into a cocktail party or a barbecue and you don't know anybody, do you instantly walk into the room and say, hey, everybody, and start talking to people? No. You kind of scope the room out, scope the scene, identify who has something that is kind of attractive to you, or see, you know, someone who you may have something in common with, and then you start talking to them, that one person, about the thing you have in common with them. Social media is the same way, in my opinion. The best way that you'll be able to reach and touch millions is to first start with reaching and touching one at a time. And those one-on-one relationships, those one-on-one conversations, either in Facebook groups or on your page or in inbox on a very, very, a very rare situation, when you're having inbox conversations, that's how you begin getting to know people. Here's my own personal, I guess, route to getting to building relationships. Typically, someone will post something that I like or that moves me in some way. I'll post on that particular post on social media, tagging them, letting them know, hey, like, whatever it is I felt, if I love this, yo, like, this is awesome, sharing my experience with them. And then that'll turn into a conversation right there on the thread. From the thread, I'll then probably scope out their personal profile, see what else I can find out that we have in common, whether it's friends, whether it's usually it's friends, or we're going to the same school, or we're from the same city. Whatever it is, it's really just all about finding something that we have in common. And then if the conversation has gotten, like, really good, like we feel like we've really connected, then and only then do I then go into the inbox. From there, anything could happen. You know, we have conversations. If I feel like they're really someone who I like to know, then we'll exchange numbers. But this is why I say friendship-based marketing. I only talk to people who I could see myself befriending. And as a result, what happens is I build these really cool relationships with people all over the world. And whenever they see me post in a group, they'll like it or comment on it, which if you know anything about algorithm and social media, really that's all that means is the science behind whether or not anything you post is seen. The more people that engage with your post, so they like it, they comment on it, they share it, the more people who engage with the post, the more Facebook or Instagram allows people to see it because they feel as if it's important. The algorithms are designed for users the consumer, not necessarily the producer. Now that you're a coach and you're looking to leverage social media, you are a content producer, right? The platforms are designed for the people who are using them, because most of us have lots of friends, whether it's 50, 300, or 3,000 friends, and then most of us have liked a fan page or 12 or 1,000, right? And so Facebook, the way Facebook works is that they don't want the news feed to be boggled up with all this random information. They only want the information to be in the news feed that people actually want to see. And so the more posts that are engaged with, the more Facebook shows those posts. And the way that you get people to engage with them is not necessarily by saying, hey, like my post, share my post, comment. It's by creating content that people actually want to engage with. Gary Vee talks a little bit, again, in that book, Jab, 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 Right Hook, about the reasons that people come onto social media. There are typically three reasons why people get onto social media: to escape from their day-to-day lives, to be entertained, or to socialize with their friends. And so those types of posts are the ones that create the best engagement. Okay. So what did I say about this? Start where you are. Begin building relationships. The key to marketing on social media is to remember that you are not only marketing your business. You are not only saying, get on this coaching call with me. As a coach, you're building a personal brand. That means that everything you do is related to a person, the whole person, right? So we think about a pie, like a pie diagram, right? Social media, this is where most people go wrong. They only focus entirely on coaching, on their business. But then they don't necessarily want to share about all of the other things that make up the whole person. That's what being a personal brand means. Being a coach means we want to know the whole person. So you want to make sure that you're sharing stuff that helps people to build community, helps people to escape from their day-to-day lives, and helps people have fun. That's why they're on social media. And then that's the hook, right, the right hook. Then and only then, after you've already done these jabs, right, sharing stuff that doesn't relate to your business at all, then do you market your business. Sign up for my free webinar. Get on a hop on a discovery call with me. Hey, this is the results that my clients had. That's only after you've made anywhere from three to five posts that have absolutely nothing to do with your business, only then do you want to actually market your business. Because otherwise, if you're constantly marketing your business, people don't hear you. They actually begin to ignore you. So Sophie says, how do you effectively manage your social media outlets so you're not spending a lot of time on social media? The best way to do this is batch your content. So as I mentioned before, if you're creating these whole outlines, go ahead and batch your content and schedule it out. I personally hire a virtual assistant, and I also partner people with virtual assistants. So if that's something you're interested in, we can talk about that. But I have a virtual assistant who batches my content for me. I write out all of the memes that I want. I write out everything that I want done, and then she goes in and schedules everything for me. So anytime that I'm on social media, my content is going out automatically, so I don't have to worry about whether or not it's going out. But it's already there. So anytime I'm on social media, I'm strictly there to build relationships. What would be good or helpful to focus on with respect to social media? The best thing to focus on is to build relationships. A lot of people, this is how you do social media wrong, okay? You schedule all of your posts and you never interact with anyone. That's how you do it wrong. Social media is meant for people to be social, right? We want to connect with each other. We want to build those relationships. So it's not just a matter of throwing the content out there. It's also a matter of, like I said, building those relationships. So you want to do that. Judy says, I want to reach through social media, especially Facebook, English-speaking populations who do not live in the U.S. I would need more information from you, Judy. Hopefully you're on the call. But more than likely, Facebook ads and Facebook groups are going to be your best bet. However, you're still going to want to build relationships. That's the most important thing, relationship, relationship, relationship. And the groups that you choose really just depend on your interests. I tend to, I'm in over 500 Facebook groups personally, but I do a lot of testing, right? So I teach this stuff, so I'm in a lot of Facebook groups so I can try things out. Most people are not going to want to be in over 500 Facebook groups. But I typically say go into a group that has something to do with your personal interest. If you like to dance, join a dancing Facebook group. As coaches, most of us love personal development, and so personal development is kind of, we're one in a million, let me put it that way. As coaches, typically in our, you know, when we leave our coach bubbles, we are one out of, you know, literally a million coaches when we walk into a room. When we stay in our coach bubble and we're surrounded by our coach friends and our other people who love personal development, it really feels like the market is, quote, unquote, saturated. But when you go out into the real world, you recognize, wait a minute, people really do need my help. So get out into the real world as much as possible. Volunteer. Go into your local community that have nothing to do with coaches, your coach bubble. When you want to come back to your coach bubble to get, you know, to kind of lick your wounds and share stories and, you know, best practices, create accountability groups, those kinds of things. But then you want to spend majority of your time with people who are not coaches, because again, you are a whole person. There's more to you than just this whole coaching thing. Denise says, how to make the best possible use of Facebook, build relationships. Bonnie says, with new social media websites popping up every day and the internet constantly growing, how do you choose which venue to use? Stick with what you like. There's always going to be some new shiny object that pops up. Don't let it distract you. Find the platform that you like and don't worry about anything else. I know that's kind of hard to do because there's a lot of people telling you you need to be everywhere all the time at the same time. You're not God. That's impossible. So find what you like. Do that. She says, how do you structure your daily schedule around social media and use time wisely by spending too many hours trying to develop a presence on specific social media sites? Easy to miss more traditional opportunities to get clients. Hopefully, Bonnie, you're on the call. If you heard me, I said definitely you want to do both. So schedule your set a time schedule. Be kind to yourself. You know, no one's going to get it right the first time. There really is no get it right, right? Social media is kind of cool in that no matter what you post, people are, you know, there's a million things being posted. So post it, try it, test it. You know, if you can work with a coach, so be it. I personally work, as a business coach, I work with a virtual assistant, so I kind of partner with my clients to help them build what it is they're looking for, and then we outsource it all to virtual assistants that I have over in the Philippines. What's the most effective way to develop an online presence? Integrate it in this daily schedule, balance it into a productive time management system for building a business. Again, set a time schedule, be kind to yourself, be okay, be compassionate with yourself, and use your schedule. Margot says, I'm currently launching a blog and new website, which will include coaching as a service. Awesome, congrats. Help me get the word out there using social media. Build relationships, Margot. Okay, so we've got, I think, a few more minutes. Hopefully, Amy, are you there?
I am here.
Okay. I feel like I've been talking a mile a minute. Everybody got that.
Got a lot of information coming out. Okay. I'm going to put us into Q&A mode. So if anybody has a question, press *6. And then
excellent. So if you got questions, press *6, and I'll answer them for you here, live, and in living color. Oh, that's the first. No question?
Hi, I was wondering about, you had mentioned earlier about building online courses. I thought that was a very interesting idea and thought, and just wanted to see if there was any way you could expound upon that just a little more. I think you mentioned something about Think IFIC and The Enemy or something of the sort. And
mm-hmm. just, what's your name?
Sure, it's Tamika.
Hi, Tamika. Yes,
hi.
So Think IFIC is one platform where you can build a course. Udemy, kind of like Academy, but U, the letter U, D-E-M-Y. is another one. I personally, like I said, I use Zippy Courses, which is a WordPress plugin because it goes right into my website. But, what's your specific question? What would you like to know about building courses?
I've not thought through that process, and I thought it was an interesting idea and just wanted to find out a little more about that from you and how difficult, how lengthy a process that would be.
Okay. Well, let me tell you that I did it the long way, and so that's why I'm telling you to do it the short way. If you get offline and you host workshops, and the more times you host a workshop, the more familiar you'll get with your material, and you'll understand exactly what people need. With online courses, it's really easy to get stuck in your head because most coaches are really well educated, right? We've been trained as coaches, and we know a lot of stuff. And so it's really easy for us to get stuck in what I call the weeds of creating an online course. But the point is for you to basically take everything that's in your head and put it in a consumable form, like bite-sized pieces, so that the person who you're wanting to help or assist, that it's right there for them. And so it's really just a compilation of worksheets and videos. And if you want, go to my website, natishawillis.com. I don't mind. I'll show you. I can't do it here because, of course, we're on the phone. But I don't mind showing you the back end of, like, one of my courses so you can see exactly what it looks like.
Okay, great. You say your website is what?
natishawillis.com, NatishaWillis, like Sam.
Perfect. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Hi, my name is Sarah.
Hi, Sarah. Oh, were you the one who asked the questions about generational differences?
Yes, I did.
Awesome. Were you here when I answered your questions?
Yes. You answered those questions perfectly.
Excellent.
And so I have two more questions, and this is going to make everybody laugh, but I don't currently use Facebook, and I would like you to explain the concept of tagging to me. What is
tagging? So what's your platform of choice?
I'm so at the beginning, I don't really have one yet. So
okay. So tagging, all that means is when you make hit the at sign, so shift and 2, and then you type the person's name. And what that does is that shows up in the person's notifications, letting them know that someone is talking to them.
Oh.
So in the offline world, it's the equivalent of calling someone's name. And as you know, like I know, everyone loves to hear their name. So,
Okay.
Well,
and
welcome
then
to Facebook.
The other question I have is, how do you make sure your online workshop or other content is protected, that somebody won't just copy it and present it as their own?
Okay, so here's my thing, right? And this is just my own perspective. Trying to figure out how to protect will stress you the hell out. Like, it will. And so what I do is I do a lot of mantras and affirmations, and I just affirm that my content is my content, and it's safe, and it's okay, and the people who need to see it will see it. And that's just my own personal approach. If you want to do trademarks and copyrights and all of that, you can work with an attorney, but my own personal opinion is that, when it comes to coaching, the point is that we want the information out there, and we want to help people. So, people have differing opinions, but that's just my own personal opinion. I mean, think about it. Like, I just coined this term called friendship-based marketing. But the really cool thing is when I Google it, there's only like 9 or 10 entries, and I'm like 6 or 7 of them.
Awesome.
So, I guess it just comes down to, when you really get into like reading, and you can get lost in the, what's the Alice in Wonderland reference? I can't remember. But
the rabbit hole.
Yes. You can get lost in the rabbit hole of trying to find out what other people are doing. But the truth of the matter is, and I'm going to tell you the truth, there is nothing new under the sun. Like literally everything that some one person says, anything you've ever thought, is 9 times out of 10 a compilation of everything that you've experienced in life, and I guarantee you someone else has said it. So, yeah, but that's just my own personal perspective and opinion.
Okay, I really appreciate that insight. Thank you very much.
You're so welcome. Good luck. Any other questions? Speak now or forever hold your peace. All right, Amy.
Oh, sorry, I'm here.
I was like, well, she'll come on eventually. Maybe she's on Facebook. Okay, well, that was good. I promise, I felt like a motor mouth.
Oh, we have one more question that just popped up.
Okay, awesome.
Hi, this is Mona. Sorry, it takes a little bit to get through that, and I've never done it before to ask a question. And
well,
then I'm afraid
I've
lost.
I think I had a question, too. I think I had one of your – no. Oh, okay. No, I didn't have your name on the list. Awesome.
No. I know. On Facebook, there's all this stuff about boosting and promoting and that sort of thing. Could you talk about that a little bit?
Sure. Boosting and promoting is a way to it's Facebook advertising, right? So it's a way to pay to make sure that you appear in people's news feeds. It's a really easy way. It's another rabbit hole that you can get sucked into if you are not building relationships. I have a more extensive training on that. If you can, you can actually take a look at it called, it's at natishawillis.com/FB, like Facebook, FB page likes, I think is the name of that, and it's free. Completely free, so you can take a look at it. Let me double check. Oh, I'm sorry, I lied. It's natishawillis.com/biz/page likes, B-I-Z, page likes. And so I talk about a little bit more of that in a little bit more detail. But Facebook, as I mentioned before, the Facebook algorithm, what it does, it wants to make sure that only the content that is useful and beneficial to its users is the content that's seen. And so the information that's on your fan page, which is the business page, which is your page where the people like it, and it shows you how many people have liked your page. Excuse me. And people typically like lots of pages, like hundreds and thousands of pages. And so unless they specifically say that they want to get notified about your page, which most people don't because that's just an extra step, the way that you make sure that your content gets shown in their newsfeed is you can pay to boost a post. And boosting a post is really the equivalent of making a post. It's almost like if you were to make a post on your personal page, and then you boost the post, and what that does is allows that particular post in order to be seen. You asked about boosted posts, and what was the other one?
Promoting.
Promoting. You promote events or you promote your page. So it's almost like – so basically you're paying for advertisement. So if you were to set up an event on your through your business page or through your Facebook, your fan page, you can pay – so that people see it. So then that gets into targeting and how do you can target people who like certain things, people who are in certain areas. But, again, it's a rabbit hole. It's a really easy way to throw away money, and I typically don't recommend it if you're just getting started. I think a better way to use your time and use your energy is really to build those one-on-one relationships. And most importantly, and the method that I teach in order to get really good engagement is to build those relationships offline and then find out who those people are, where they are online, and then target them based on that. So a process that I teach my clients frequently, all it is us meeting. So we get active in our communities, whether that's volunteering, teaching workshops, having speaking engagements, things like that. We get email addresses. We friend, like I typically friend most people that I meet offline, even though I share personal stuff on my personal page. The reason that I friend people is because historically entrepreneurs were members of the community, and so we knew their friends, we knew their families anyway, and so that's how I approach my coaching business and my Facebook personal page, is that I'm a member of the community, you're a member of my community, and so anything that I've got going on is not a secret. So by friending people on Facebook, I'm then able to spy on what pages and what kinds of things they like. And, you know, then I'm able to kind of follow up with them. You may or may not have heard this before, this statistic about most people don't buy the first time that you have a conversation with them. It takes them anywhere from 5 to 7 times. Of follow-up, of seeing you, of experiencing you, of interacting with you before they purchase something that you have to offer. Well, when I friend people on my personal page, what that does is that allows me to interact with them. So I'll send them Facebook messages, find out how they're doing, what they're working on, what they've got going on, send them articles that are helpful, things like that. And so that allows me to build interactions with them. And then as I post on Facebook and they like the things that I'm posting and they're inspired and they're motivated and I talk about the webinars that I've got going on or this free workshop that I'm doing here or this coach's brunch that I'm doing here, right? I'm really able to increase the number of times that people see me in their community. Does that make sense?
Yes, you did an excellent job of explaining it to me. Thank you.
You're so welcome. Most people will talk about social media like it's some foreign planet. But I liken it to a party because it is. It's a lot of people, and you can get to pick and choose who you want to talk to and who you don't. So you're so welcome. Were there any other questions? I want to make sure we get everybody.
Doesn't look like we have any more.
All right, it sounds good. Well, this was a blast, as always.
Thank you very much for doing it for us, Natisha.
You're so welcome. Thank you.
Okay. Have a good night, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.